represent the views or opinions of KUP's parent or any of its affiliates or employees, including the individual speaking.
Hi, everyone!
Hello.
Hello!
So, CJ, Kyle, and I thought we'd mix it up this evening, and we all did something right before the show.
A horrible idea.
What did we do, CJ?
Caffeine.
We're all high on caffeine.
That is the worst way to say what we've done.
I'm like shaking.
Basically, CJ was like, you know what we should do? We should try out that new Mountain Dew stuff that they're using Halo 3 to sell.
Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
Yes, Game Fuel. Whatever. Mountain Dew gets you high.
Also known as Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored fuel.
Or just fuel.
Anyways, so we decided we'd tack on another colon to the title of the show tonight. Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored, caffeinated.
Yes. Another caffeinated.
Yeah. That would have been fun if we had done that over the summer. It would have been like, Animorphs, the radio drama, uncensored, summer edition, caffeinated.
CJ, talk slow.
Sorry. Anyways. So I wasn't here last week, and it was very saddening. I was in Detroit instead. And Detroit doesn't have the Animorphs. What are you doing?
Don't worry about it.
I'm confused.
That's because you're not yourself.
What are you talking about?
We're all grateful for that, by the way.
Ha ha!
Don't like you, sir. Anyways, okay, we should start reading.
Why?
Because that's what our show's about.
That's the name of the show.
Hey, what?
You're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or online at kdup.up.edu. If you'd like to call us tonight, what number can you reach us at, CJ?
What number?
503-943-7121.
That's 503-943-7121.
And if you can't hear that because we're talking too fast because we're on caffeine, it's 503-943-7121. I can't do it.
You can email us tonight at animorph_radio@yahoo.com. Check us out at our website at animorph-uncensored.com. And check out the Facebook group, Animorphs the Radio Drama. No uncensored.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Whee! Okay. So we're finishing up tonight.
Hopefully.
But we are.
Oh, God! Hooray!
Hello.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
Oh, my God, you guys are still on the air. That's so awesome.
Yeah. We never went off, did we? Yeah, we went all right.
Oops. There was a break. We forgot to tell people about fall break.
Wow,
no,
that's awkward.
I just missed you the entire first half of the semester because we have night classes.
Oh.
Where is this?
I talked to you guys last year. I'm the RA from Chicago.
Yay!
You're a figment of our imagination.
Yeah, you've gone down in the scrolls of Animorphs, the radio drama history past.
You know, as soon as we write one.
Yeah. Right.
Why is this?
Oh, because you're the RA that made an event out of our show before I did.
Yeah. Yes, I forced the freshmen to listen.
Yeah, well, no, seriously, your name pops up like every single time we mention our show and we're telling new people about it. We're like, yeah, there was an RA that had her entire floor listening.
You know, not your name, but yeah. What you did.
Yeah, we're like, and it was awesome, and she's really cool. You should do that, too.
And I'm fairly certain a couple of them still tune in.
That's good.
That's exciting. Yay.
But you guys moved to a later time slot, and I've missed every show this season until our study group stopped. So.
Oh, well, that's okay, because you can download us online.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Listen to the commute in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah. It should be caught up, too, up to the second to last show.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Look, I'm not going to interrupt your show for very long. I just wanted to say I'm glad you guys are still on the air, and I'm glad I finally get to listen.
Well, we're
glad
you're still
listening.
Yeah, we're still glad you're on the air with us.
Woo!
Yay.
Well, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Oh, that's awesome. Kyle, I'm very proud of you.
I figured out my...
Oh, wait. Dead silence.
Why?
Shh!
Sorry. I ruined the moment. All right, let's do this.
Chapter 7.
Who's doing what?
Team.
Somebody has to pee. We're all really high.
Okay. So we're going to do this in shifts, okay? Okay, so I'll take the first shift. You guys start
There's
reading.
There's no screen on
in
the window.
Three,
two, one.
There's no screen.
Oh, my God.
I'm just
going to
pretend like I didn't hear that.
We here at Animorphs Radio Robot Center do not support what CJ was talking about, which we can't really talk about. So
yeah, we can.
Chapter 17. We all hooked up later. We all hooked up later that afternoon at Cassie's barn. Inside her barn, there are rows of cages in all shapes and sizes, mostly full. Birds are in one area, with mammals separated from them by a partition wall.
Partition, a lot like your hard drive.
Or not.
She's still stuck in the 90s and have, like...
I guess it makes the Windows XP nervous to be in the same room with the Linux and the Unix boxes. I'm sorry. I guess it makes the birds nervous to be in the same room with foxes and raccoons. Nervous birds hurt themselves banging around the cages.
Awkward.
When I showed up at the meeting barefoot and in my morphing outfit, everyone immediately knew I hadn't exactly taken the bus to get there. Jake and Marco were lolling on bales of hay. That's
lolling.
Not lol.
In other words, they were laughing out the... laughing out loud. Or not.
And rolling on the hay, probably.
Gosh, man. Our humor is just taking a downturn. We used to be clever, now we're just dumb. No, we didn't used to be clever, we were just dumb.
This is my line.
Oh, sorry.
We started scripting 2 episodes ago, if you didn't notice.
What?
We did. Except for CJ.
I can't read.
No, we didn't.
I can't read, I'm actually following a teleprompter.
How are you following a teleprompter if you can't read?
I don't know.
You've got the cue cards upside down. It's the only way I can figure them out. Tobias was perched on a crossbeam a few feet over our heads. I felt a stab of pain seeing him that way again.
Stab!
Axe did not come to these meetings usually. He would have to assume his human morph, and he preferred to remain in Andalite form as much as possible.
Yeah, and assuming stuff just kills kittens in Africa, so don't assume.
It's your line.
Oh, right. Hi, Rachel! Hi, Rachel.
Marco said, cracking his voice and looking amused. Oh. But also a little wary.
Oh, you're making fun of my voice. It didn't say cracking his voice in here. What have you been up to? Or maybe I should ask, what have you been?
Ah! I get it. Mm-hmm. Cassie was busy changing the bandage on a wing of a sad-looking kestrel.
Kestrel. Someone should call in and tell us what that is. Hey, Cat. Hey, Rachel.
I know the kestrel.
What is it?
It's a kind of bird. I think it's a raptor. So now you can call in and tell me I'm wrong, that it's actually like a mouse.
Hey, Rachel.
Oh, Cassie said.
Give me a hand here, will you? I didn't see you at school today.
I went and held the struggling bird as well as I could do. Kestrels are small falcons. So if we, you know, read ahead, we would know this. The kestrel tried to take a bite out of me, but he was too weak to do any damage.
Holy crap!
Ah! Are you okay?
Oh,
hold on, we got a phone call. Pause. Hi, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama uncensored.
Holy crap! Are you okay? Hold on, we got a phone call.
I'm so confused, we're listening to ourselves.
On Animorphs, the radio drama.
Stop this, Dan, you're a terrible person.
Hey, this is Kyle, you'll never guess which one. One of the three on the third floor, or second floor of Christie Hall. And I just would like to let you know that according to our friend Wikipedia, the name kestrel is given to several different members of the falcon genus, Falco, most easily distinguished by their typical hunting behavior, which is to hover at a height of around 10 to 20 meters over open country and swoop down on prey, and etc., etc. One interesting thing that you might want to know is that they require a slight headwind to hover.
This is definitely 233, Kyle.
We know where you live.
And I will find you.
Remember, fear me, for I bear the instruments that inspire fear.
Turn your radio down.
Thanks, man. Wow, no like problem. A blast from the past.
Bye.
Let me know anytime. Glad to be your information source.
Yay.
Yay.
And now we shall sing it. The more you know.
We got like a whole page.
See how much distance we can do.
Very nice.
It's very nice.
Not a good movie.
No.
I just Kessel tried to take a bite out of me, but he was too weak to do any damage. CJ.
Bite out of crime.
CJ?
What?
Focus.
Where?
I felt
kind of sick this morning.
I told Cassie.
So I stayed home. But you felt better this afternoon, huh?
Jake said.
So much better that you decided to morph? How did you get here, just out of curiosity?
I walked in my morphing suit and barefoot. Duh. Cassie was done and took the Kestrel from me. I turned to look Jake in the eye.
I flew. Is that okay with you?
He glanced at Cassie, then at Marco.
That bear you morphed yesterday, you went to the gardens and acquired that all on your own, didn't you? No.
I said.
I met the bear at the mall. Okay.
Jake said.
And today you ditch school and end up morphing, whatever you morphed. An eagle.
Tobias said.
I saw a bald eagle riding the thermals this afternoon. I should have guessed. It was up for too long, acting like a buzzard. A real eagle would have perched after a while. It's nice to know I have privacy.
I said sarcastically.
It was about noon.
Tobias said.
If you came here in eagle morph, that would be more than 2 hours. You must have demorphed, then morphed again.
Jake looked at me sharply.
You spent the whole afternoon in morph? Yes, mother.
I said. Because he's not
can
her mother.
Can I get a... What happened last week?
She morphed a bear and went insane, and she's dealing with, like, a lot of problems.
You didn't listen?
You I said you would listen, and you didn't.
I couldn't.
Liar.
I didn't have...
Liar!
I didn't have...
Liarly liar.
Pants. Lily. Fire. Lee.
Hanging from what, Kyle?
Telephone wire.
Move on! Okay, Jake jumped up and stood right in front of me, his face just inches from mine.
Dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
Don't give me your sarcasm, Rachel. You're acting really weird. That's everyone's business, because if you do something stupid, we could all end up paying the price. Do you go... We could all end up paying the price.
The price is right.
You go and acquire a grizzly without backup, you could have been killed. So what?
I shot back.
You heard the elements. We're doomed. It's going to be Yerk's 1, Human 0. We lose, so who cares about anything? Who cares if I skip school to go flying?
Suddenly, Jake just sagged.
Negative Nancy!
I don't know. I don't have any answers. I'm sick of trying to have answers. You decide. I don't want to argue with you. I don't know what your problem is, but you know what? You deal with it.
I've never seen Jake look so tired. One minute he was being strong, sensible Jake, leader of the Animorphs, and the next minute he looked exhausted. His eyes were red. He was blinking constantly.
Bipolar!
He looked like he was worn out just from breathing. He looked like we're going to look tomorrow morning because we won't be able to sleep because of all the frickin' caffeine.
He looked like he was worn out
just from breathing.
Have fun with that one, Dan. I know you wanted to say it, so just say it.
That's what said.
Maybe.
Last night.
Good addition, Matt.
At the soccer game, what were you people thinking? Get your mind out of the gutter. My goodness. I've never seen Jake. That's your line.
No,
it's my line. My dad wants me to move out of state with him.
I said. Everyone just kind of stared at me. They had blank, tired eyes. Not much different from Jake's eyes. Jake's.
What are you going to do?
Cassie asked. I threw up my hands.
Hands in.
The sound of us throwing up our hands.
Yeah, like the parentheses where they explain what the actors are doing before they do it.
Moves to center stage. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Effect. How can I even think about something that unimportant? I mean, like we don't have bigger things to worry about? The fate of planet Earth and the human race? Different things bother different people.
Cassie said.
I know how you feel about your dad. He's a jerk for dumping this on me.
I said loudly.
I mean it.
Oh, it was weird. All of a sudden, I felt like I was choking. Like I was ready to explode. Like my brain was spinning out of control.
wow, that's kind of like how I feel right now.
Well, you're out of control for sure.
It's like, what am I supposed to do? It's like, what am I supposed to do?
I yelled.
It's like, what am I supposed to do?
I yelled.
What happened last night? After all that, I have to decide who I want to hurt, my mom or my dad, and you guys, and... Come on, Rachel.
Marco said kindly.
Take it easy. Come on. You're Xena. No! No! I'm not some stupid TV character. I'm not some comic book, Marco.
Oh my God! Oh my God.
You want me to
Sorry.
Die? Oh my God! No! No! I'm not some stupid TV character. I'm not some comic book, Mark. Why are you doing this to me? I don't need two microphones.
It's worth it.
Just like... All the rest of you, I'm scared of what almost happened to me last night. I'm scared just knowing this place exists down there. I'm scared about what happens to me, italicized. I just wanted to run away, but I didn't think I could, so I was brave because that's the way I'm supposed to be. Every now, but now, oh, just come live with me, and we'll all go to ball games, and hey, forget moving to another state. We have a whole another planet for you. And the more exits I see, the more scared I get, all right?
For a long time, no one said anything.
Oh, my God. God. You have to make it. You have to extend it. You just have to. No, 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 no. No, it's really just the computer.
No. You get it when you do that. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. I love you.
I don't know what that button
is. I'll you off.
Marco sighed heavily.
Marco sighed. You know, I was going to read that, but somebody got sidetracked. Marco sighed heavily.
I've been thinking. I'm changing my vote. If the Elemist asks again, I'm going to vote yes. What?
Jake demanded.
Why?
Marco shrugged.
Rachel's losing... Sound of shrugging. Rachel's losing it. If she loses it, how long are the rest of us going to last? Shut up, Marco. I'm not in the mood for your jokes.
I said.
Me neither.
Marco said flatly.
You know how much sleep I got last night?
That
about an hour.
Flat. Say flat.
Me neither.
Marco said flatly.
You know how much sleep I got last night? About an hour. Nightmares. I was a zombie in school today. Brains. I feel like my skin has all been rubbed with sandpaper. I'm Ow. Jumpy. I'm scared. I'm stressed. It's going to happen. This Big was set. Always insane right from the start.
Marco said,
Insane! A handful of kids fighting an alien invasion. Look what's happening. Tobias is trapped in a morph. Rachel is starting to use morphing to get away from her problems. The other night, I woke up in bed, and I didn't know what I was. I didn't know if I had hands or fins or claws or talons. Maybe you and Cassie are immune, Jake, but I doubt it. We can't give up.
Jake argued stubbornly.
All we ever do is lose.
Marco said.
We annoy the Yerks. Maybe we blow up a ship or some little success, but the invasion marches on, and all we ever do is barely escape with our lives. We're like some baseball team that never wins a game. I'm not going to say anything about you. Yeah, it's an emotional moment for baseball teams that lose.
What baseball team lost?
What?
I don't follow sports. What baseball team lost?
Probably ours. Anyways, and
we don't
now...
Have a baseball. Oh, yeah, we do. No, they don't. They're
now
very
we've
good.
Lost any listeners that were baseball players.
They
and
have
now,
spirit. Yes, they do. They have spirit. How about you?
No, I don't. And now, according to the Elemist, we know it's going to be a whole losing season. We aren't going to the playoffs.
Well, I could have told you that. No.
I don't care.
Jake said.
I'm not giving up. Jake.
Cassie said.
See this?
She held up her left arm and pointed to a scar above her wrist.
Cassie, you should... I got this from a raccoon. Yeah, cute story. The raccoon had been caught in a trap. Its leg was broken. I was trying to free it so I could save it. It bit me. No crap, Sherlock.
It's a raccoon. Seriously.
And then I had to get a shot in my stomach.
Wait. Deep thought of the day from Jake. We're not raccoons.
Jake said.
Aren't we?
compared to the elements.
Cassie said,
I'm not a freaking raccoon. I've got opposable thumbs.
They have.
I can let go of the treat in the box.
I'm going to do that. I want to go to a zoo sometime and have a raccoon sitting there in a cage. Just walk up to him, wiggle my thumbs, go, yeah, 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 suck it. Yeah, what now?
Like that.
Opposable thumbs, loser.
Oh, wait.
Get out of my cage.
Oh, wait. You can't suck it because you don't have a thumb to suck. So there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what I was referring to.
Of course.
Exactly. We don't censor ourselves.
What he's trying to do is save at least a part of the human race, that he's just going to try and get us out of the trap and fix our broken bones. Cassie's right.
Marco said.
If the Elemist wanted to hurt us, he could just destroy us. You know it as well as I do. Fine. I'm going to let him get my leg out of the trap. But I have some conditions first. There are some people going with me. But if the Elemist can save those people along with me, then I have to say yes.
Marco looked at me. Then Jake and Cassie and Tobias all looked at me. The vote was now 2-2. I was the deciding vote.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, bum.
Oh, November 5th is coming up. Oh. If you're over 18, please vote.
Do you want me to do the voice?
Oh, yes, please, please, please.
Okay.
God, I can't do that voice. No, no pun intended if you think the Elemist is God, which we don't. But, I was the deciding vote. It would mean no more battles. It would mean that somewhere, wherever the Elemist took us, there would be no job in another state for my dad, because there would be no other state for my dad to have a job to go to. That wasn't in there. There would be no more painful decisions for me to make. I opened my mouth. I started to speak.
Ask you again, I promised I would.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was still your line. Marco said.
What you need to understand, I will show you.
Chapter 18. Whose turn is it to pee?
Rotate.
CJ, I think it's your turn to pee.
But I have a... I don't have to.
He has to do lines.
I have to pee.
Okay, am I narration? Or voices? Or most of the voices?
I'm Elemist and I can do narration.
Okay.
I will show you what you need to understand.
In an instant, we were gone from the barn. The five of us and Axe stood side by side in the middle of an empty field of scruffy, unkempt grass. Unkempt. That would be a GRE world. Word. World.
I'm rocking that button tonight.
There was a long, low, tumble-down building 100 yards away. I can just see you when that button breaks, you're going to call up Dell and be like, what's wrong with my computer?
Yeah, my U button broke and it's not making cricket noises.
What were you doing? Cricket noises?
I think you've got more problems than just a broken button, sir.
There's crickets in my computer.
Get them out! Get them out!
The Elemist was nowhere to be seen. We were only five people around. 5 humans and 1 Endlight. 5 real humans.
Tobias?
I said.
Yeah?
He said, looking down at his hands.
This routine again.
Jake looked angry. Cassie marveled. Oh.
I was supposed to sound excited when I said, Tobias!
A little bit more love in there.
Tobias!
Now put some passion.
Tobias!
There it is.
Okay.
Cassie marveled. Marco tried to smirk nonchalantly. But wasn't succeeding. No one looked tired anymore. Axe skittered nervously on his dainty hooves and stretched his tail, as if preparing to use it.
The Elemist again,
I said.
Do you guys hear?
Yeah, we heard,
Jake said.
So we get another chance to change our mind.
Where are we?
Cassie wondered.
I mean, something about this looks familiar, but I can't quite place it.
Deja vu. It's when something in the Matrix has been changed.
Darn cat walking by again.
I had the same feeling, like this empty, dusty, blasted landscape was familiar. It was Tobias who saw it first.
The school,
he said.
What?
I said.
No way.
But he was right. I looked again and realized that I knew each of those tumbled-down, destroyed buildings.
Okay, I don't like this,
Marco said.
I don't even halfway like this. I mean, normally, I'm all for seeing the school blown up, but I really, really don't like this. When did it happen?
I wondered aloud.
I skip one day and the place burns down? I don't think so.
Tim, Cassie said in a strange, distracted voice.
I don't think this is something that's happened
past tense. I think we're talking future tense.
Grammar lesson.
Or just tense.
Mark Goddard.
Knee slapper, if ever I heard one.
If there's a knee slapper, is there also a... It's a bunch of knee slaps, wow.
It was a good one.
I looked over at Cassie, wondering what she was talking about. She was staring intently up at the sky overhead, then off toward the horizon.
The sky,
she said.
Have you ever seen it that color before? It does seem slightly yellowish,
Jake said.
And the air, doesn't it smell funny?
Like Swan Island?
And look over there, the trees over behind the gym. They're dying. The Elymas said he would show us something.
I muttered.
So what's he showing us?
Was that a mutter?
I attempted the second time.
And you
did
failed.
I fail?
So what's he showing us?
And translating out of mutter, so what's he showing us? Question mark. Axe? Nutter question mark. You don't understand any of this. Yep. There is a time distortion. I sense it, but I don't know what it is. What it means, even. It's the future.
Let's get a more marveling in there.
It's the future.
Cassie said. A chill crawled up my spine.
Oh, we need that sound.
I wanted to think Cassie was losing it. But I sensed the truth of what she said.
Okay.
Wrong way.
Okay.
There we go.
So what are we supposed to do now? Stand around here until the Elymas comes back for us?
Marco said. Jake shrugged.
I guess we look around. The mall's just a quarter mile or so. It should be open.
Good job there,
or
Jake.
Gone.
All the buildings are destroyed, but the mall's still going to be standing.
Yeah. We can always hope. Twinkies,
so,
man.
So we walked
Twinkies.
Across the scruffy field, beneath the sky that seemed to add yellow to blue and make patches and wisps of green, unlike any sky I had ever seen. We passed the school and looked morbidly through the blast holes to see if we could recognize anything. Marco yelled. He reeled back from one of the dark holes. I ran to look inside. It was a classroom. There was a skeleton lying crumpled across the teacher's desk.
Oh, my God.
It's great music for a skeleton flying across the teacher's desk.
Better. Go.
This is the sound of Matthew Tongue's empty bladder. I'm a big boy now.
Bum bum. It's your line.
It is.
Oh my God.
Cassie whispered.
The body was just left here. That's Palomas? Paloma? Classroom.
I said.
History class.
It took a few seconds for the significance of that to sink in. The body had been left there to rot. It must have taken years for it to be reduced to nothing but bones.
Oh, that's my line. Cassie's right. We're in the future.
Marco said.
But that's impossible. Impossible for humans.
Axe said.
But not impossible for Elymists. Oh, I get it.
I said angrily.
It's a little lesson. The Elymist is showing us what happens in the future. How cute. How clever. But how do we know this is really the future? And not just some little show he's putting on. Let's try the mall.
Jake said.
Although I don't have a good feeling about this.
Because if the mall's up, then that's going to solve all their problems.
Exactly.
If the mall's up, then he's lying.
Then they have a base of operations, and they can rebuild. Basically, they're looking for Twinkies. I'm just saying.
Wouldn't a gas station be better for that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dang, you and your logic.
But if it was a nuclear explosion, who's David Hasselhoff?
You don't know who David Hasselhoff is?
Pass the mic.
Did we do the half hour thing?
No.
You're listening to kdup.up.edu or not online at kdup 1580 AM. If you want to call us, it's 503-943-7121.
503-943-7121.
7-1.
2-1.
And you could email us at...
Oh, I thought we were just going to do the KDP stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind, you can't email us yet.
Okay.
We decided that gets way too long when we repeat ourselves, like, 4 times a show. So hey, we're just doing the KDP
can
stuff.
Can we do the next paragraph something a fun way?
Like?
Every other word.
We could try it for a paragraph.
Okay. We...
I lost my place. Where are we?
Bottom of 109. Wrong page.
Oh, there we go.
We
left
the
school
behind
us.
I
tried
not
to
think
about
who
that
skeleton
might
have
been.
Some
teachers.
Some
student.
Some
person
who
just
happened
to
be
in
the
wrong
place
at
the
wrong
time.
Question mark. Okay. Maybe we can check the bookstore at the mall.
Marco said.
Find a world almanac for whatever year this is. So who won all the Super Bowls?
See.
Then, when we go back to our time, we can bet on the game.
Wait a minute. That
Make
sounds,
a fortune.
That sounds like a... Like a...
Like a great movie?
A great movie. I don't... Well... One of a series of great movies, yes.
Yeah, there we go. Rattle, rattle. Back to food.
I forced a laugh that came... Darn you and your time, because it made me come out... Instead of saying came, I said kime.
Kime?
Yeah, I don't know why. I forced a laugh that came out like a grunt. Mm. I needed to keep our spirit... That was a very masculine grunt.
I know.
I needed to keep our spirits up.
From Rachel.
Marco was trying. We reached the highway. 8 lanes of concrete. Dead silent. Not a car. Not a truck. Empty. On the far side of the highway was a rusted wreck of a car. Bony white hands clutched the steering wheel. We stayed away from it. I saw something that gleamed brightly off the east. It seemed to run in a straight line from the far horizon to a point much closer. I squinted to see what it was.
Too bad we don't have your Hawkeyes now.
I whispered to...
Sorry, Tobias. Sorry, Tobias. Too bad we don't have your Hawkeyes now.
I whispered to Tobias.
It's
too bad we don't have your Hawkeyes now.
That's so creepy.
Shame on you.
That's so awful. She whispered in his ears. Both of them at the same time, which made it even more awkward.
It's a...
it's a tube, I think.
It leads to the rest of the internet.
Yeah, that's exactly what went through my head.
The internet is a series of tubes.
It's a tube, I think. Like a long, long glass tube. There. Something is moving down it. It's a conveyance of some kind.
Axe said. He had turned all 4 of his eyes toward it.
It seems to be a glass tube
we
that
just
goes...
said that.
It seems to be a glass tube that goes on for many miles. Inside it are fast-moving platforms like your trains, only faster. They are going perhaps 300 or more of your miles per hour. Ooh, he didn't say your hours. What a schmuck.
They're everyone... sorry.
They're everyone's miles.
Marco said,
you're on Earth, Axe. We all have the same miles.
Except for those of us who have kilometers.
Exactly. What about nations that use kilometers?
Kilometers.
Kilometers.
Axe said, smugly,
see, I am learning aluminium. Some kind of very high-speed train system.
Jake said,
that's why no one is on the highway. That and their dead people.
So we're...
The question is, who built the system?
Amtrak. Amtrak is full of a bunch of controllers.
Civvies. Sorry.
This is Scary Future music.
Scary Future music. Okay. I pointed out. A few minutes later, we reached the mall, but it had changed. It had changed quite a bit. Instead, it was Walmart.
Oh, man.
Marco said,
look at that. Oh, man, it's a Walmart.
The mall was still standing. Even the sign that said Sears could still be seen, but holes perfectly round and about 6 feet across had been drilled into the sides of the 4 big department stores. There were 6 or 8 holes in the pennies, the same with Sears, and from the holes emerged taxons. They shimmied, as we discussed in other books.
Yep.
Shimmied. They crawled in and out of the holes. They slithered down to the ground and up the hoof. To the roof.
What?
Hoof to the roof. Some were carrying boxes from a squat, bulky spacecraft that sat in the parking lot. They were unloading it like a truck, carrying silvery packages in through several of the holes.
It's a hive,
Cassie said.
It's like a beehive or an ant colony. They've taken it over. The mall is a tax on Hive, and they changed it to a Walmart.
Chapter 19.
Bump.
I'm doing something,
boy says.
The future way it will be if the Yerks win,
I said.
Taxon's using the mall for a hive. I guess that means I can forget about any good sales today.
So funny.
Not.
I wanted to sound tough, like I wasn't impressed, but that was a lie. Worms larger than a grown man were crawling through holes in the mall. Skeletons lay across desks in the shattered ruins
now,
of our school.
I don't get that, because if there were taxon there, then there wouldn't be any skeletons.
They don't eat bones. They pick the meat off the bones.
But they said that...
The flesh.
They said that
they like
the flesh had rotted for like several years.
So what do you... You mean there should be fossils?
Not that many several.
I don't know.
Oh, I see. So it shouldn't be rotted flesh skeletons. It should be fleshless rotted skeletons.
Of course. How could we be so stupid?
We should email K.A.
No.
Actually, no. I don't think she'd be impressed. Skeletons lay across desks in the shattered ruins of our school and clutched the wheels of rusted cars. The air felt strange. The sky was no longer the sky of Earth. The trees were dying. Right.
Because the sky of Texas is not the sky of Earth. Earth. We apologize, Texas.
The trees were dying. As we circled around the mall, we could see that the tube train made a stop there. The glass tube was raised above the ground about 20 feet, like the monorail at Disney World.
Disney World.
Disney. Disney is a controller.
He's dead, too.
Perfect sense. Oh, is he? Or did they just freeze him until the actual invasion could start?
I have a deep thought for everyone.
Don't do that.
No, I have a deep thought.
Oops.
Dang it. Okay, you can talk now.
Most people don't realize that large pieces of coral, which have been painted brown and attached to the skull by common wood screws, can make a child look like a deer.
That was an actual deep thought. You brought that on the air? Shame on you and everything you stand for.
Do not...
Except, of course, Animorphs.
Do not put wood screws in your child's head. We do not support
don't
that.
Don't your kids. Where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at?
Something about... Disney World.
Disney. But there did not seem to be enough supports to hold it up. It was as if it was just hanging there.
Disney World of the future. Scary.
Outside the mall, a drop shaft rose up to the tube. A taxon entered the shaft and swept up to a light... wow, I just added the word light. A taxon entered the shaft and swept up to a platform that bulged from the side of the tube.
Let's stay clear of any taxons,
Tobias said. But Marco shook his head.
Why? Don't you see? The Yerks have won. So many humans are just human controllers.
That's why he's the smart one.
Yeah.
The taxons would just assume we were human controllers. I guess you're right.
Tobias agreed.
Yeah. So we can go anywhere. Besides, I don't think the Animus... I do not think the Elemus brought us here to get us to see...
Killed.
To see us get killed.
I relaxed a little, realizing they were right. But still, there was a deeply disturbing feeling about all of it.
I will morph into human form,
Axe said.
The Yerks may be accustomed to human controllers, but they will not have seen any Andalite controllers except for Vissa 3.
Are you so sure?
Marco asked.
Maybe in the future Andalites lose to the Yerks too.
Never!
Axe snapped angrily.
I was a little too angry, but okay.
Never! He began to slowly melt into human shape.
Let's hop the train,
I said.
See where it goes. Excuse me?
Marco laughed.
Ha! Climb aboard the Yerk version of Amtrak?
I shrugged.
Amtrak, it's for Yerks. You said it, Marco. They'll think we're controllers, and in any case, the Elemis didn't bring us here to get us killed. It is sad about the mall,
Axe said, now mostly human.
They had excellent foods for tasting. Tasting. The Elemis showed us much of what was excellent in your species and your planet, but he did not mention the sense of taste. Cinnamon buns. Buns. And chocolate, too.
I love how you, like, enunciate every word. It's perfect. Okay.
Yeah, we have to save any species that can invent the warm cinnamon bun,
I said.
Come on, let's try this.
It only took a couple of minutes to walk to the drop shaft. As we neared it, a taxon slithered up alongside us. He was racing to get ahead, like a rushing commuter. But aside from that, he paid us no mind.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Actually, you ever really ever think about that phrase, paid us no mind? You know, I mean, like, hey man, here's a mind.
You can go to the concert now.
So you pay them no mind. So you're like, here's a mind, but it doesn't really exist, so it's not actually being given
to
you.
Would you actually like to know the origin of that phrase?
No.
You don't know.
No, I would not. Let's move on. Matt, take the mic. Let's read.
No.
Take the mic. We need a bag.
Back in the days before currency, like, you know, long eons ago, many moons ago when we bartered, actually what people would do is they'd... when they wanted something, they'd perform like selective lobotomies and give each other parts of their brain.
You know what? That has to be the stupidest thing I have ever heard. Shame on you.
Thank you, everyone. I'll be here all week.
Shame.
That's not true. They use chicken brains, children. Yeah. Don't buy things in chicken brains. No one will take it from you.
It's really not worth that much.
Anyway.
I mean, the chickens don't even need them. Why would we?
It's true.
Okay.
But aside from that, he paid us no mind. You think the Yerks have a rush hour?
Marco muttered under his breath.
Quiet.
Jake snapped.
We're controllers now, not normal humans. So kill something.
Yeah, quick. The taxon reached the drop shaft ahead of us. He stepped in through the large opening and was immediately swept up onto the platform overhead.
And, you know, he's doing his... What's the thing called? The conveyance system?
We all hesitated to follow him, I stepped forward.
Okay,
seconds
right
later,
now, tomb
I was on
train,
the platform
right now,
with the others right behind me. We were 20 feet up, and I could see in all directions.
Wow. How'd that happen?
Mirrors. I nudged Tobias. A small Yerk pool had been built on the roof of the mall.
I nudged right Tobias.
Sorry. Right over the place where the food court had been. It was a shallow, sludgy pool. Half a dozen taxons lounged around it, almost as if they were sunbathing. Taxon babes. Gross.
You almost... sounded like you liked it there for a sec. I'm glad you followed that up with a gross. That's hot.
Sorry.
It
oh,
is, because they're sunbathing.
Let's go to the pool. There are taxon babes everywhere. You have no idea how hot they are. There were no cages at this Yerk pool. Taxons are all voluntary hosts. Another reason not to like them. At least the Hork-Bajir had resisted the Yerks. Suddenly, in a rush of wind, the platform came down the glass tube like a bullet. It stopped and... Dang it. I keep trying to start this sentence.
Kapoing.
It stopped in front of us, and the taxon quickly slithered aboard. We followed. It was not a closed car like a train. It was just a clear platform, open at the front end and the back.
Well, that's not very safe.
There were maybe 20 standard seats.
I don't want to know what this safety coefficient on them.
I want to know what standard seats are if they've got humans, Hork-Bajir, and Taxons, as well as one Andalite roaming around.
Just keep reading.
Standard seats, half occupied by human controllers. Toward the back was an open area where the Taxons went.
All right, Taxon, get in the back.
Get in the pan.
Oh, one get in the back. There will be a Rosa Parks Taxon.
No, I refuse to sit in the back. I will stay right here. I'm ready to train what I want.
That's so irreverent.
I love it.
We need less caffeine.
At the front were several large chairs, much larger and made of steel with no padding. Those had to be for Hork-Bajir. Space for about 4 Hork-Bajir, maybe 2 or 3 Taxons, and seats for 20 or more humans. We are the dominant species still. So there were far more humans around than either Taxons or Hork-Bajir. I just need to just keep reading and stop making comments, because apparently I just don't read very good. We would not look out of place. The train landed like a bullet down the glass tunnel.
It landed like a... Launched. It launched down the bullet. Right.
Caffeine. But there was no lurch.
You
and no
rang.
Rushing. You rang, sir.
Oh my gosh, we can't get through.
All right. Do you want me to actually try and read more than, like, a sentence?
What, you talking to me?
No. We just blew along at a speed that boggled the mind. The trip from the suburban mall to the downtown usually took half an hour by bus. We made the trip in about a minute and a half. Ouch.
That's fast.
Jake gave me a look. We were getting off here. We rose and left the train.
Fast,
Marco said.
Beats the bus.
I agreed. It was beyond strange walking the streets of downtown. Entire skyscrapers were simply gone. Others now had wormholes for the Taxons.
Wormholes? Wow, that's advanced technology.
Yeah, that means they're pretty structurally integrated.
This is for Daniel. This was a triumph.
No!
That song does not belong on the show.
Quit hitting me. Anyway.
But it makes a funny noise.
It's a Catholic school. It's a ruler. We're allowed.
Really?
Oh, it's a promotional ruler.
Is it? What does it say?
How?
Awesome. Moving on.
Oh, dear.
Jake gave me a look. We were getting off here fast.
No. Wormholes.
Wormholes
for the Taxons.
I looked up 30 stories and saw Taxons crawling up the sides of a building that used to be the headquarters for a bank. The tallest building in town was the EGS Tower. The EGS Tower. It was 60 stories tall.
60 stories tall.
It still stood almost intact. But for most reason...
But for some reason.
I just made up my own word. For most reason, the top 2 floors had been sheared away, then covered with a glass dome. Pale sunlight sparkled off the dome. It was almost like a beacon. Bing! Bing! Humans and Hork-Bajir walked the street side by side, but not in large numbers. In fact, the entire city seemed far emptier than it should have been. We turned a corner and froze. Oh, I forgot we did that last episode.
It's the sound of freezing.
Yeah.
That's where the city arena should be,
I said.
It's where we saw the circus. The arena. That big department store, that building to use to have the tall antennae on top. They're all gone,
Marco said.
Just gone.
In their place was a Yerk pool, a pool of shocking size. It was a small lake, really. You could have ridden around on it in a motorboat and not looked out of place.
Except for the fact that
you'd be chopping Yerks up as you went and you'd probably get shot. Because they'd be like, "Ah, you can't do that, you silly kids.
You already did that to the manatees."
I'll be back.
Awesome.
CJ has to go to the big boys' room.
Oh, go to the science building.
I,
the,
bathroom's always occupied.
Hey, I think you have about 2 minutes because we're almost done with this chapter. Better run.
I see we'll take 10 minutes to finish this chapter.
That would be horrible.
What?
Let's speed through it so that we can read another chapter without
it. Okay, cool.
It's just gone. In their place, top of 117.
And not looked out of place. It was three times as wide as a football field is long, maybe four times as wide, and all around it were cages, just like the underground Yerk pool we knew too well. But there was a difference here. The humans and Hork-Bajir in these cages no longer called for help. They cried. They sobbed. Or more often, they just stared blankly into space. But they did not call for help. They knew there was no help coming. They knew that hope was dead. We just stared, the six of us, just stared emptily. A human controller brushed past us, jostling me as she went.
"Excuse me,"
I said in a sarcastic voice. A mistake, I knew it was a mistake as soon as the two little words were out of my mouth. The woman stopped. She came back toward us.
"What did you say?"
she demanded.
"Nothing,"
I said, but she kept staring at me with narrowed eyes.
"What is your name?"
I knew that answer.
That's still your line. Just Rachel.
Oh, I knew that answer. Rachel was not going to work. She went. She wanted my yurt name. I tensed up, ready for a fight.
That was tension in music. It was horrible. "Her name is not your concern,"
Tobias said. The woman sneered.
"Oh, and why is that? You're spies. That's what you are. Spies."
"Her name is not your concern,"
Tobias repeated.
"His name is your concern."
He jerked his thumb at Axe.
"Because his name is Visser 3.
I don't have a sound effect for bum bum bum.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Bum, bum, bum!
Bum.
Cha. Okay, chapter 20. So are we just gonna...
swap? Ah, shoot, I think he made it. Damn it. Sorry, folks, you have to listen to CJ.
Is that CJ? Could be a mad accent.
Yeah, but he's really, really, really dumb. So we're just gonna go without him.
What's he really dumb about? Oh my god, he's in the window! And now he's gone.
See, what's really funny is that he thinks he's entertaining the listeners as well, but no one can see him acting like a total...
yeah.
Schmuck. That's the word I was looking for.
Schmuck.
Chapter 20.
Ah, you're listening to KDUP 1588M, or Kyle online at what?
KDUP.UP.edu.
Mm-hmm. If you want to call us tonight, you can reach us at...
3-9-3-7-1-2-1!
Or, Kyle, where can you email us?
Anamorph_radio@yahoo.com.
All right, check out our website, anamorphs-uncensored.com, or our Facebook group, which is what?
Anamorphs: the radio drama.
No uncensored.
There's a definite lack of uncensored.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Entech International, leaders in microporous membrane materials, headquartered in Lebanon, Oregon. Entech International, leadership, commitment, and innovation worldwide. Not really, I just like saying that.
Oh. I was like, wow, really? That's impressive.
How fun.
It makes me sound special, but I'm not.
Okay. Chapter 20. Visser 3?
The woman repeated skeptically. It took me a few seconds to track. What was Tobias talking about? Why was he saying Axe was Visser 3? Fortunately, Axe caught on more quickly. He immediately began to demorph and return to Andalite form. And as soon as the Andalite stalk eyes appeared, the woman began to tremble.
But, you said Visser 3. Only Visser 1 has an Andalite host body.
Great. Visser 3 had been promoted.
Yeah.
I said to the woman.
But he was Visser 3 back in the old days, back when we were all friends, comrades in arms.
Comrades.
No one told us you were visiting Earth, Visser.
The woman babbled in a kind of a...
rabble, rabble, rabble.
She was clearly terrified. Obviously, Visser 3's reputation had not softened any over the years.
Axe had regained his full Andalite form, and the various controllers in the street were staring in a mixture of fascination and fear.
If I had known...
This is one.
I would never...
Someone.
The woman moaned. Axe waved his hand dismissively.
Silence.
I love it.
You are right to remain vigilant. If you had not been vigilant, I would have destroyed you before being a careless fool. Now get out of here.
Careless fool.
Yes, my visor, yes.
The woman took off. Fast.
Yes, my visor. Yes.
No!
Axe does a terrible Visor 3 impression.
Bunza. No, I mean...
Now get out of here.
Buns. I mean...
Now get...
Careless fool.
Get thee gone. Haste.
Get thee to a nunnery.
Nunnery A to the get.
To a nunnery, go.
Nunnery A to the get. Get thee to a nunnery backwards.
Which left us standing around in the street, gaping at the Urkel, and lots of controllers around gaping at us.
This isn't good.
Marco said.
Word is going to travel very fast that Visor 3 is here, and someone is going to realize the truth. So what now?
Jake wondered.
How long does the Elemis want us to leave...
Want to leave us here?
Until we are convinced he's right.
Tobias said.
There must be something more he wants us to see.
Cassie said. I glanced at Cassie. She looked puzzled. I guess I expected her to look like...
See, I told you so. Here's the future.
Oh, come on. See, I told you so. Here's the future. That's better.
See, I told you so. Here's the future.
Thank you for mocking me. But she seemed troubled, like she couldn't make sense
you
of something.
You
want to
do that one more time, Kyle?
Aww.
How very unfortunate.
The mic didn't make it all the way over here. Poor Mike.
It didn't make all the way back either. Like she couldn't make sense of something that was bothering her. Top of 121.
What?
I asked her. She shrugged.
Just a feeling. There's something deeper going on here. Something we don't get.
The Yerk Pool was a busy little place. Controllers were coming and going. The host bodies were shoved into cages and dragged back out when it was time. There was a steady procession along the six different piers. Dum-dum-da-dum. Sorry. Draining out and taking in the Yerks. Over it all loomed the EGS tower, topped off by the glass dome.
What put a Yerk Pool here? Why put a Yerk Pool here?
I wondered aloud.
I mean, there's all kinds of open areas. Why go to the trouble of removing the buildings that were here? It's not like this is exactly a scenic location. I wonder what year it is.
Marco said.
Is this next year? 10 years from now? 20?
I heard a low roar coming from the sky. A Yerk bug fighter swooped down low, took a turn around the EGS tower, and settled down toward the near side of the Yerk Pool. I don't know why, but I felt drawn to that bug fighter. Maybe it was some strange psychic urging. Maybe. Yeah, maybe it was the Elemis making me go closer to see what he wanted to show me. Wherever the urge came from, I found myself walking toward the bug fighter.
Hey!
Jake said.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
You guys stay back.
I said.
It's okay.
Marco said, jerking his thumb at Axe.
We're with Visor 3 here. Excuse me, I mean Visor 1. And congrats on the big promotion, by the way.
Axe stepped out quickly in front of me, swaggering and acting the role of the great and terrible visitor.
Go! Oh, I tripped!
Oh. I'm okay.
Whoops!
Just my pride's a little injured. I'm fine.
Keep going. Come on.
Somebody help me. As we drew closer to the pool, there was...
What are you doing?
This cord is...
It'll be fine if you just leave it alone.
Matt keeps bumping. That's what it is.
So let's blame Matt.
You know what? I'm gonna blame Matt because I'm the jerk on the show. Matt! You're a bad man!
You're still a bad man. I think the passing of the mic just detracts from the whole, like, yelling across the studio thing. Because, see, like, now Matt yell at me.
But they can't hear you when you do that!
Yeah, but see, now when we listen to this again and we're like, hey, we just heard Matt yell, but it's so quiet and that's what makes it funny.
Okay, can I have the mic back now?
Yes. Yes, you may.
Well, that was a
thank you, Kyle.
Pass.
You're welcome.
Come on, we gotta get to the next book.
Right, next book, yeah. Oh, shoot, you're right. We can get there in a half hour.
Yeah.
Starting now or like when?
What button?
You.
I'm purposely... You?
No.
Pax stepped out quickly. As we drew closer to the pool, there was a crowd of controllers, humans, Hork, Bajir, Taxons, and a few odd species I had never seen.
Sorry, okay, I'm done.
The crowd parted very quickly.
Part?
Like the Red Sea. Or is it...
Let my people go.
That was the Halo theme by Kyle Mickling. A few odd species I had never seen. The crowd parted very quickly. No one wanted to accidentally annoy Visser One in any way. That way leads to death. We swaggered up to the bug fighter like the bosses of all the world. Then the door of the bug fighter opened. I stopped. Axe stopped as well. My skin was tingling. My hair felt like it was standing on end, because it was. I knew something was about to happen, something awesome and terrible. And then they stepped from the bug fighter, a human and an Andalite. I knew the Andalite. We had met before. I could feel that dark dread that had emanated from him. The Visser Three, the real Visser Three. Seeing Axe along with Visser 3, the crowd of controllers immediately knew the difference. Visser 3 had an Andalite body, but there is no mistaking him for anything other than a creature of pure evil.
Well, well,
Visser 3 said to the person with him.
Right on schedule.
No, it's schedule.
Just as you said it would be, schedule. Just as you said...
Shed.
Shed it would be.
She's got hair loss now. They don't have mouths.
Well, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna do...
I stared at the human. She was a pretty young woman, maybe 20 or 22 years old. She had blonde hair, cut short. She wore no makeup. Her clothes were plain. I had stopped breathing. My heart had stopped beating. She looked so bad. I tried to swallow, but couldn't.
Hello, Rachel.
The woman said to me.
Hello, Rachel.
I replied. Mambo!
I got rhythm!
Look out.
You got a mic.
Bub, anamorphing time.
What do I have?
Chapter 21. It was me. Me, as I would be in the future.
I knew you would come.
The future, Rachel said.
And after all, I was you. Once I stood right where you stand now, and looked just like you look now, and saw myself as I am today.
She sounded perfectly calm, but her eyes flickered quickly to Axe, then back to me. Visser 3 shook his head in amusement.
Ha ha ha! Shoot, what's the line that we do to
your
get
up? Your faith in your friends is yours.
Your faith in your friends is yours. If only I had known from the start that you were humans. For so long, I believed you were Andalites. Until at last we caught you.
It's at last.
At last. You made me go back for that. Yeah. Until at last we caught you.
Schedule.
I felt strangely calm. I mean, considering what was happening, I was face to face with Visser 3, who is now Visser 1. I was face to face with my own future.
You're a controller?
No.
You're just
I said to the older one.
Of course,
she said. She smiled, a cruel smile. Not all like me.
Cruella de Vil. Cruella de Vil.
Forgive me, a cruel chuckle. Name that movie.
What?
Clue.
Forgive me, a cruel chuckle. Don't.
I love that movie. Of course, she said with a smile, a cruel smile. Not like all like it. We won. You all led us on a nice chase, but in the end, we won. This planet is Yerk territory. The human race has achieved its destiny as hosts of the Yerk race. If you know so much, how did we come back? How did we... I don't know how to say this line. If you know so much, how did we come to be here in the future?
Marco asked.
Your faith in your friends is yours. An Elemist has brought you here.
Visser 3 said.
In your own time, you face a choice. The Elemist has brought you 6 humans. You five humans and one Andalite, here to show you a future.
I rehearsed it and screwed it up. Typical me.
To show you the future.
I'll be in my trailer.
Soon he will return you to your own time. What choice did we make?
I asked. The older Rachel smiled her cruel smile.
The right one, obviously. Everything has worked out perfectly.
Okay, so you said the right one, so we just pick left and we'll be fine.
Yeah? Maybe not. The Elemis brought us here to help us make... Sorry.
Defiantly.
Maybe not. The Elemis brought us here to help us make a choice. So what if we go back to our own time and decide to accept the Elemis offer?
Dum-dum-dum.
Then Rachel won't be around to be turned into a controller.
Dum-dum-dum-dum!
She'll be with the rest of us on whatever planet the Elemis takes us to.
I don't have anything. Bum, bum, bum. I watched closely for any reaction by my older self. Nothing. Not a flicker. And yet, there was something she was trying to hide.
So something. Not nothing, but something, but not a flicker, yet... Ish?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
All right, I was just clarifying.
Clarified.
Wait a minute, is this her or the future her? It's her.
I said.
You know what we decided, but still, here you are.
I said.
So either you're here to change what I decided, except, no, then it might change all of this, or else you're here because your being here is what caused me to decide whatever I decided. Confusing, isn't it?
Visit 3 sneered.
I don't know how the Elemis keeps it all straight. Let's leave,
Cassie said suddenly.
I don't like this place, and I don't like these two creatures.
But Cassie, I'm your best friend.
My older self said mockingly.
No, you're not. Maybe Rachel is still alive in there somewhere, but what you are is a yerk.
Cassie started to turn away, and as she did, she tripped. She fell against me. Suddenly, the older Rachel was there. She grabbed me and held my arm steady so I didn't fall. But to Axe, it must have looked like she was lunging at me. His tail whipped forward in the blink of an eye. Axe's quivering blade was pressed against the older Rachel's throat. Her eye went wide with fear. She shot a glance at Visser 3, and to my amazement, Visser 3 seemed frozen. He was confused. His main eyes narrowed. He looked from Axe to the older Rachel to me. Suddenly I knew.
This wasn't in the script, was it?
I said.
This wasn't supposed to happen. Something has changed. It's Axe, isn't it? You said 6 humans before. That's what you expected to find. That's what Rachel told you would happen. But the future has changed, hasn't it? Something is different.
Visser 3 glared at me, and now he dropped the pretense of politeness.
Do you know what I did when I finally caught you and your little band of Animorphs? Do you know what I did? I gave each of you a trusted lieutenant. And once you belonged to us, once you were mine, I called your bird friend here and we killed your bird friend here and we roasted his body. Because it was quite tasty through the hoof.
Visser 3 leaned close to me.
He was tough. Stringy. Your faith in your friends is yours. Stringy. But we added a sauce you humans have. Barbecue. I believe it is called. And
barbecue
then your
sauce.
Friend Tobias was delicious. You had a leg, as I recall. You ate it and laughed.
Wow, that was out of character.
I just went with it.
Very dumb people.
Yeah. Wow, that's a fun... We should just start from there. You ate it and laughed. I really wanted to morph right then. I really wanted to become the Grizzly and tear Visser 3 in a few new holes. But there were hundreds of controllers around. And while I was morphing, I would be vulnerable. Axe still had his tail blade pressed against the older Rachel's throat.
He can't hurt us,
Axe said.
He can't do anything to us. If he does, he would change history. He doesn't know how that would work.
Out.
Good point, Axe.
Jake said. He met my gaze. He had a dangerous, angry look in his eyes.
He can't hurt us. But the reverse... Well... Excellent point.
I agreed. I focused my mind on the grizzly bear.
So, Visser 3, you killed my friend Tobias and roasted him over a fire.
I was beginning to change. So was Jake.
I have 100 Hokbajir I can call.
Mr. 3 said.
So call him.
Marco said.
All it takes is one phone call and then your kneecaps are history.
I want a lifeline. I want a lifeline, Regis.
I'm going to use a lifeline.
I'm phoning a friend. Oh, shoot, I'm out of time.
I don't know. I'm trying to decide between A and B. But...
I've already used 50-50.
I've already used a 50-50.
Is it gonna be for the $125,000?
I don't...
I'm gonna walk about. I'm gonna walk.
Is that your final answer?
No, I'll call Chapman.
Big mistake. He's a principal.
Beep. Hello. You have reached Chapman residence. We're not available to take your call right now.
Of all the people to call, hundreds of Hokbajir, and I choose a schmuck.
But if you leave your name, social security number, and residence, we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Have a nice day.
Beep. Yes, this is Visa 1. Social security number. 1-1.
Two.
I was. 3. I'm just calling because I need your help to decide what to do with these infidels, and I really just don't know.
Beep, beep, beep.
Bonk, bonk.
Curses! Curses!
I didn't even get to ask his message machine a question.
Although that right reminded me of my favorite song. What do you call it? 1, 2, 3. It's easy as A, B, C. It's 1, 2, 3,
oh,
A, B, C.
Oh, you make me happy on the inside.
You're watching ABC. We'll be back to Millionaire with Visser 3 or 1 or whatever shortly.
He sounded like Barney.
Okay,
back to it. Oh, that was way fun. So call him.
Oh, right. Marco said,
maybe one of them gets careless with a Dracon beam and kills one of us. How do you suppose that will change the past? Hard to tell, isn't it?
Claws and had sprouted from my fingers. Coarse brown fur was covering my body. I could feel the surge of power as I became more bear than human.
Visser,
the older Rachel said tersely.
What do we do?
We.
Visser 3 said.
We do nothing. I retreat.
Visser 3 began backing away, but I wasn't about to let him go. I had him. After all the pain he had caused, I had him. After all the damage he had done, he was now powerless. I did not wait until the last of my human features was submerged. I was bear enough. I charged. Bears are very large and look sort of clumsy, but they can be very fast.
Now you filth!
Wait.
It just seemed like filth would be a word that Visser would use.
Now you filth, let's see who eats who.
He turned to run, but he had turned too late. I hit him. 800 pounds of fast-moving bear hit Visser 3 in the flank and brought him down hard. I drew back one huge claw and swung with all my might. My hand slapped the trunk of a tree, my human hand.
Ow!
I was human again. I was in the woods behind Cassie's farm. The others were all there as well. Tobias, once again a hawk, perched in a branch overhead.
No! I'm sick of this!
I yelled. I slammed the tree again in sheer frustration.
I'm sick of this! I had him!
Cassie came over and put her arm around my shoulders.
It doesn't matter. That's a Visser 3 who doesn't exist yet. I'm so sick of this.
And tired, I said again, and a little more softly.
What's the point? What's the point in anything? We know the future now. We know what happens if we decide to stay and fight.
I felt lost. The last ounce of energy just seeped away from me. It was too much, too many things to deal with. And what was the point? What did it matter what I did? I flopped down onto the grass and pine needle covered ground. And rested my head in my hands. I was done. Done trying to make sense of a world where I could be jerked back and forth like a puppet. The rest of us just lay there on the floor of pine needles for a while, staring, thinking, letting it all sink in. It was over. The war was done. We had lost.
It could all still be an Elemis trick,
Axe said half-heartedly.
No,
I said flatly.
You know it's not a trick, Axe. At least not the way you mean. If the Elemist wanted to force us to do something, he has more than enough power.
We need to think this through.
Jake said wearily. I shrugged.
You think it through. I'm tired of thinking. I was just about to vote when the Elemist dragged us off for this, his little show and tell. I was about to be good old Rachel and vote no. I was going to be tough one more time. But I'm changing my vote. I'm not going to end up as a controller. That's not going to happen. Not to me. If that means running away, if that means I'm running away, too bad. I change my vote.
You know what? At that moment of surrender, I felt good. I wish I could say I didn't, but I felt a wave of relief wash over me. No more hard decisions. No more danger. No more having to be brave.
That makes it Cassie, Rachel, and me in favor.
Marco said.
3-2. Unless Axe is voting. I follow Prince Jake.
Axe said.
Maybe...
Tobias began.
Maybe if some of the human race survives on some other planet, maybe it will be like when they brought wolves back to live in the National Forest. I mean, maybe someday we can return and take back Earth. Are you changing your vote? Are you changing your vote, Tobias?
Jake asked him.
Jake, you know I would never run from a fight.
We all just sat there staring at nothing. We were going to do it. We were going to abandon the fight. We all knew it. Jake hung his head.
Elemist,
he said softly to the air.
We have decided. The answer is yes.
The Elemist had said we would be transported immediately once we decided. I expected my next breath to be drawn on some distant planet, but nothing happened. Nothing at all.
We're going to take a PSA break, and then we'll be right back.
PSAs.
PSAs.
Have fun.
Bye. Hi, we're back.
Bill Nye knows the momentum of an electron and where it is.
And its position.
These CJ are awesome.
Is horrible.
Yeah. Bill Nye decides if Schrodinger's cat is alive or dead.
Sorry, we took a break as well. Wait, who's doing what? Oh, I'm not reading.
Aren't Bill Nye tutors no. Stephen Hawking. That makes me happy.
Bill Nye tutors Stephen Hawking.
I'm not reading.
Yeah, you are. I just read twice.
I don't understand, yeah. Bill. How does this work?
Okay, so I'm doing
final
narration.
One. Bill Nye can divide by zero.
Oh, that's impressive.
Oh, he knows where Carmen Sandiego is.
He knows where Carmen Sandiego is.
Okay, you said last one. Sorry. Now it's last one plus one. Which is impossible.
But it's Bill Nye.
Okay, chapter 22.
My aspiration is to be that announcer guy on Bill Nye. I want to do it.
That's right, Bill.
It needs work.
Okay.
I can't tell you... Oh, are you reading or am I... Okay.
I'm narration.
Okay.
I can't tell you how weird it was going to school the next day.
But I'm
going
to try to anyways.
Sitting in class, trying to pay attention while my teacher, Miss Paloma...
Who's dead in the future.
Talked
that
about...
That would be creepy.
Talked about what led up to the Second World War.
Maybe if the United States had been ready to fight earlier...
She said.
The war would have ended earlier and fewer people would have been killed... But our country wanted peace.
I just kept looking at her and wondering...
$54.
Was that your skeleton draped across the desk? What was the point of going to school? What was the point in anything? I had seen the future. I knew how it all turned out. Would you stop it? It's to the point where you're just throwing in interruptions so we don't finish the book.
You're listening to KDUB for 1580 AM or online at kdub.up.edu.
You can phone in at 943-503-943-7121.
Or if you're on campus, just extension 7121.
Not
I think that's the first.
7161.
No, that's public safety. Don't call public safety and then say, hi, guys. I love your show. Yeah.
Because then they'd be like, we're not the official radio station.
And we have your phone number and where you live now.
We're not
now
I'm backwards. Them
officially.
Yeah.
They're not.
We are not
sponsors.
Sponsoring public safety. That is correct, CJ. Way to go.
We cannot.
No, I was speaking in the voice.
What
of,
he's trying to say is yes. We cannot officially say that we are the official radio station of public safety.
But we can say that unofficially? Or say officially that we are the unofficial radio show of public safety?
You just can't say
we'll leave that up to the listeners to decide.
Yeah.
We report, you decide. I just kept looking at her.
I just kept looking at her, wondering, was that your skeleton draped across the desk? What was the point of going to school? What was the point in anything? I had seen the future. I knew how it all turned out. The human race was done for, finished. That was where all our long history led. To a yurt pool.
Because we were so devoted to peace, we may have actually made the war worse.
Miss Paloma droned on.
We'll never know for sure, of course. You can't really second-guess history.
You can if you're an Elemist, I thought. Sorry. If you're an Elemist, you can look ahead and see it all.
Why not?
It was Cassie's voice. I glanced across the room at her. She had that same look of confusion I'd seen the day before. The frustrated look, like she sensed something she couldn't quite grasp yet.
Why can't you Why can you not second-guess history? I mean, if you could go back and change things so the U.S. is ready to fight earlier...
Miss Paloma sat on the edge of her desk.
That's ridiculous, Cassie. Do you need to go to the nurse's office again? No, I'm kidding. Because events are intertwined in ways we cannot always see, Cassie. Sometimes small things can make huge differences. You know, they say a single butterfly beating its wings in China may affect the way the wind blows here in our country. A single butterfly beating its wings may cause a tiny change that becomes a bigger change.
Gee,
that
that's not been used before.
That becomes a tornado. The world isn't like math. Actually, K.A., that's chaos theory, which is very much like math. As a matter of fact, I would say it is math.
Yeah, basically, you're a liar.
The world
is... Moving on!
It isn't just 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's more complicated than that.
It's like
for sufficiently large numbers of 1.
1
yeah.
plus 1 times 1 equals 2.
That's because we
two.
Defined our addition property as...
Multiplication.
As x plus x, or x plus y plus 1.
That's homework in the studio, and shame on you.
That's math, K.A. Live with it. And then, Kyle,
and then the oddest thing happened. Miss Paloma looked right at me, right into my eyes.
Are we having a moment here? Dum, dum, da, dum. Much more complicated dum, dum, than ba-dum. That.
She said.
A single butterfly.
Mrs. Paloma, the Elemist!
A single butterfly.
A single butterfly.
The hair on the back of my neck was tingling.
A single butterfly. A single butterfly.
Everyone was looking at her like she was crazy.
A single butterfly.
Suddenly, Miss Paloma shook her head.
Saying that over
no.
and over again?
No.
God, a single so butterfly.
Gullible. No. Miss Paloma shook her head. She's done saying that. Like she was popping out of a trance.
Butter what?
A
single
butterfly. She smiled a confused smile.
Okay, well, anyway, you all have the writing assignments?
The bell rang, and
butterfly.
I practically jerked up out of my seat. Cassie threaded her way through the kids who were rushing out of the room.
A single butterfly. Much more complicated than that. A single butterfly.
Okay.
Do not put all your right, mouth on the operational end I'm of done. The device.
All right. Let's just go to commercial.
We already did all of
it. Again?
No.
So we can have a break?
No.
Because I'm going to cry because I'm so frustrated.
Okay. Tell me that wasn't weird.
The bell rang and I practically...
Okay. Tell me that wasn't weird.
Cassie whispered.
That wasn't weird.
I thought maybe I was imagining it.
I said.
Besides, who knows what's weird anymore? I'm sitting there waiting for the, you know who, to suddenly zap us out of here.
Cassie nodded.
So why hasn't he?
Out in the fast-moving crush of bodies... Oh, shoot, I got this! Oh, ah!
Suddenly a shock rang out. Shot.
There we go, they're in the hallway. Get it? Out in the fast-moving crush of bodies in the hall, we made our way to our lockers.
I don't know.
Wow, that was it. I said as I spun my combination lock.
We decided to say yes. We're giving him what he wants.
I popped my locker door open.
Unless,
Cassie said.
Unless maybe that wasn't the answer he wanted.
I finished her thought.
But it's nuts!
All right, cool.
But it's nuts! What the... You skipped a page.
Did I? Give it back.
But it's nuts!
Cassie said, frowning.
Everything he did made it look like he wanted us to say yes. He appears the first time, right as we're about to be swallowed by a...
She looked around to make sure no one could overhear.
Just as we were about to be swallowed. I mean, come on. Obviously, he must have figured out we'd want to bail. We might have.
I said.
Except we saw that drop shaft, so we thought we could escape. Otherwise...
I stopped talking. I stared at Cassie. She stared back.
Justin Timberlake is coming to town!
No.
He showed us that drop shaft,
Cassie said.
Why?
I wondered aloud.
Why? What is he doing with us? He appears when we're desperate, he says he doesn't interfere, and gives us a choice, and then he lets us see a way out. What's that all about? Then he gives us another chance. He shows us the future. He shows us you, basically, you in the future. So we know for sure that we must have decided to stay and fight, and we know we lost, and all that means we have to say yes and let him take us away. So why have I been feeling like I was missing something?
The warning bell for next period rang.
Bring. This is insane, as Marco would say.
Cassie laughed.
Life is about to end on Earth as we know it, and I have time for a joke.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
As we know it.
It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
I feel fine. Yeah. I have gym next period. At any moment, I might suddenly be swooped away to another planet. But in the meantime, I have to go play volleyball.
I watched her walk away. Then I hurried to my next class.
A single butterfly.
I thought.
But how is the butterfly supposed to know when to beat its wings?
Oh, it's so tantalizingly...
Wait, sweet.
Tantalizing?
Tantalizing. Give it to Mike.
Chapter 23.
I was back in the underground year pool, trapped, stuck to the taxon's tongue, but not in a cockroach body. I was myself in my human body, only tiny, stuck, about to die. Axe was talking.
Yerkpool, it's the center of their lives, almost a religion.
Religion.
I squirmed and tried to get away. I tried to change into something else.
Else.
The bear. I wanted to become the bear, but I was stuck. All I could do was beat my helpless butterfly
wings.
He showed us the drop shaft.
Cassie's voice murmured in the back of my head. I swirled down dark corridors. I flew wildly on butterfly wings, always chasing a light that never drew closer and yet never disappeared.
Disappeared. The Candrona.
I thought in my dream.
The light is the Candrona. Candrona. The center of their lives.
Lives.
Almost a religion.
Religion.
No, not the Yerkpool, really.
Really.
The Candrona is... That is the center for them. That is their light.
Light.
He showed us the drop shaft.
Shaft. Cassie said again, only now she was Miss Paloma.
Paloma.
My eyes snapped open. I sat up in my bed. I was awake as I'd ever been. I was electric! I yelled in the darkness of my room.
Yes!
Then I hesitated. Was I nuts? Was I just desperate? I ran through it all again.
Gum!
I whispered.
Oh man, we got him! Got those disgusting worms!
I shucked off the t-shirt that I wear to bed and quickly slipped into my morphing outfit. I threw open the window. Then I paused.
It would be Saturday morning in a few hours. No school. But if my mom found me gone, she might worry. I quickly scribbled a note saying that I had gone for an early morning run, that I might go over to Cassie's afterward. And then I glanced at the picture on my desk, the one of the three-year-old me on the balance beam being held up by my proud father. I could not tell the others. We had already decided we were going to say yes to the Elemis. We would let him take us to a place where there would be no battles and no need to decide. If I told my friends what I suspected, I felt the weight come down on me again. The weight of uncertainty and guilt and fear. I looked at the picture of my dad and smiled.
That wasn't a very good transition.
I've only got buttons, man.
What would you think of me, Dad, if I walked away? When I still had a chance to win.
And then I morphed. My arms shrank. My skin began to flow into patterns of soft feathers that could ride silently on the night breeze. In a few more minutes, I was ready.
Isn't that like a line from a song?
What would you think of me, Dad?
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ear and I'll steal your body, because I'll try not to sing out of key.
No. No, this is perfect. Lend me your ear and I'll steal your body, and I'll try not to make you go pee. Oh, I'm going to steal your body. Oh, because I'm a yerk and I...
Oh, I
get... Take the mic!
Oh, I get your mind with a little help from my friends. Oh, we're going to try with a little help from my friends.
I can't believe it's still playing. Okay, it's done.
Moving on.
See?
Moving on.
Dude, when I say okay. Moving on, it usually means move on.
No, all right, I'm going to do some.
We're still waiting for Matt to say this line.
In a few more minutes, I was ready.
No, we're finishing the book.
This is
okay.
I'm trying to find something, but no.
Right.
They can't hear this.
I know.
Only we can hear this.
See, I saw you press the button here.
Yeah.
I like it.
In a few more minutes, I was ready. The moon was bright in the sky. Dawn was still hours away. A perfect night for an owl. But as I paid no attention to the juicy prey below me as I flew at top speed toward the woods.
Tobias, it's me. Don't panic, but wake up. What the? Didn't I tell you about zooming up in? Come on!
I yelled.
Come on where? Don't argue. Just come on. I know you don't like to fly at night, but just come on anyway. Rachel, have you lost your mind? Where are we going? We're going to be butterflies, Tobias. We're going to change going to Cassie's barn, and then we're going to change history. He opened his wings and flew alongside me, just a few feet away. Whatever you say, Rachel. Tobias said grumpily. What makes you think I know where it is, Tobias?
I interrupted him.
Where what is? Tobias, I know the location of the Candrona.
With you guys in that West Side Story thing.
I don't know.
Chapter 24.
I think it sounded like a gang fight earlier, and I got excited. Am I doing voices?
No, I like the bass thing. Do the bass thing.
Dude, they can't hear this, so all you're doing is making comments about nothing.
I'm trying to find something appropriate.
Okay. Here's music in my head, folks.
Okay. It's 3:47 in the morning, and I'm here thanks to the fact that my dad is a sound sleeper who doesn't notice when I wake up screaming because an owl and a hawk have just flown through my window. So, now maybe you can tell us why we're here.
You ever wonder why we're here? Everyone was there in Cassie's barn. Jake looked sleepy but interested. Cassie was using the time to check on some of the sick animals. Axe just stood to one side, waiting to see what Jake told him to do. Tobias perched on an overhead beam, tired from having flown too much. We were lit by a single small bulb that never even touched the shadows in the corners of the barn. We didn't want to take the chance that Cassie's parents might notice a light on and come to investigate.
Sorry, I lost my place. Yes,
I answered Marco.
I'll tell you why we're here. I know where the Candrona is. I know where it is.
That got his attention, but he was still skeptical.
What makes you think you know where the Candrona is?
The Elemist.
The Elemist. He showed us. We all thought it was unfair when he appeared in the Yerk Pool and asked us to decide when we were about to be eaten, right? I told you, Elemist cared nothing about fairness.
Axe said.
No, you're wrong, Axe. At least this time. The Elemist appeared when we were about to be swallowed by the Taxon, but then he showed us the drop shaft. We saw the drop shaft because it was there.
Jake argued.
It wasn't about him showing it to us. Are you sure?
I asked.
He waited till we had walked out of the Yerk lunchroom to appear. He waited till we were standing where we were, sure to notice the drop shaft.
I saw Jake raise an eyebrow thoughtfully. He and Marco exchanged a look.
Ooh, shoot. Who is this? Okay. What if we were wrong about the Elemis being unfair? What if Cassie's instinct isn't right? That he was telling the truth? That he's Okay, what if... Damn it. Darn it. Sorry for anybody who cares. What if Cassie's instinct is right? That he is telling the truth? That he's trying to do what's right? He tells us that in the future we lose the fight. That the human race is enslaved. That he has a way to save a small number of us by taking us to a safe place. And it's all true. If he's telling us the truth, that we lose in the future, what's this all about?
Marco asked.
We've seen the future. Nothing we do will matter.
I shook my head.
No, it will matter. If it didn't matter how we decided, why even bother to ask us what we wanted to do? See? It doesn't matter what we do.
It does matter what we do.
Oh, it does matter what we do. Wow. Yes,
Marco said.
But the answer is obvious. We can only change the future by agreeing to the Elemist plan to take us to a safe planet. Yes, that's one way. He offered us that. But when we finally accepted, he didn't act. He didn't take us instantly away. Why? Why, after we agreed, did he leave us here? Because we wanted a different answer.
Cassie said, nodding at me and giving me a wink.
That's what's been eating at me. What different answer?
Marco asked.
He's in a trap,
Cassie said.
The Elemist is trapped. He wants to save Earth, but he can't interfere directly. Supposedly, all he's allowed to do is offer to save a small number of us. But he knows that that won't save Earth. It will save a few humans, yes, but when he showed us visions of Earth, he wasn't talking just about humans. He said Earth was a work of art. He wants to find a way to save it without interfering directly.
I agreed.
But what if we just happened to see another way? What if the Elemist showed us the future, trying to convince us to let him take us away, and we just happened to see a way out?
What way out? Jake demanded.
The Candrona. He let us see where the Candrona is.
I said...
The Yerk Pool downtown, that's the key. Why build a Yerk Pool downtown? Why level so many buildings to make room for it? Why leave the EGS Tower still standing? And why is there a glass dome on the top floor of the EGS? Axe is the one who said it. The Yerk Pool is the center of their lives. That Yerk Pool, I think it's a shrine. Almost a holy place to them. It's where they located the first Candrona to be placed on planet Earth.
Jake snapped his fingers.
The EGS Tower. That's what's under that dome on the top floor, the Candrona. That's what the Elemist wanted us to see. Just the way he let us see the drop shaft we used to escape. He wasn't interfering, technically. The choice is still ours.
Marco laughed out loud.
Ha! You mean maybe the Elemist is bending his own rules? So he can say, hey, I didn't interfere. But at the same time, he's putting us where we can figure it out. Huh. I can't believe it. The Elemist is a weasel. He found a loophole. I think I like that guy. But even if you're right about the Candrona, Rachel.
Jake argued.
What does it prove? If we destroy it, are we sure it will change the future?
Cassie looked at me and smiled.
Maybe yes, maybe no,
she said.
But things are connected in millions of ways. They say a single butterfly beating its wings in China can start a tornado in America.
A single butterfly.
Tobias said.
But how does the butterfly know when to beat its wings?
A single butterfly!
It doesn't,
I said.
I guess it beats its wings the best it can and hopes it will all work out.
Gag me with a spoon!
It's a butterfly.
I have a spoon.
It just does what butterflies do.
And what do we do, Xena warrior princess?
Marco asked mockingly, what? Knowing the answer I would give.
We kick your butt,
I said.
With a grin.
Very nice.
That's
very
nice. Okay, go.
Chapter 25.
Oh, wait, we finish. Who's doing what?
I'm reading narration. That means you're on voices.
Okay.
Chapter 25.
Chapter 25.
At 5:10 in the morning, the EGS Tower's windows were almost all dark. From the deeply shadowed plaza in front of the building, we could see a sleepy, uniformed guard inside the lobby.
There are dozens of businesses and law firms and stuff in this building,
Jake warned.
What? Most of them are probably just normal people.
Sorry.
Fortunately, at this time of day, almost no one will be here. But the guard is probably not... But the guard is probably just a normal guy. Oh. How do we deal with him without hurting him?
Cassie asked. Suddenly, Tobias swooped down out of the dark sky.
I can't see anything useful through the windows up here,
he said.
Too bad that glass dome is still in the future. But I can tell you one thing. Something in here is giving off some heat. I'm getting a beautiful updraft from the building itself. Let's do this already,
I grumbled. I started morphing into the bear.
Okay, but take it easy on any innocent bystanders,
Jake said.
Tobias, I know you're wearing out, but stay up and keep an eye out while we morph. No prob, Jake.
He flapped his wings and slowly gained altitude.
These doors will be locked,
Cassie pointed out.
Not for long,
I said. Axe was already demorphing, coming out of his human body and resuming his andalite shape. Jake's eyes were glittering. His body was lengthening, and striped orange and black fur was spreading like a wave over his skin. Cassie was already on all fours. Rough gray fur grew thickly around her shoulders. Her mouth bulged out further and further to form a wolf's muzzle.
Hey, a guy's coming up behind you,
Tobias called down.
I think he's drunk. He's carrying a bottle. If it were daytime, I could read the label. He's definitely staggering.
Don't drink, kids.
Or you'll run into creepy people changing into animals that will kill you.
Keep morphing,
Jake said quickly.
Cassie, see if you can get rid of him.
Cassie trotted off, already fully morphed. And a second later, we heard... It didn't work. It's actually growl. Followed by...
No way!
And the sound of a crashing bottle and running feet.
Like four running feet.
Mm-hmm. He's on a horse.
And he's
drunk in public. Right.
Cassie.
Returned.
Just
as we were finishing our morphs.
He decided to go in a different direction,
Cassie reported.
Okay, so let's go in,
I said. I was fully the grizzly now. Wow. I said, I was fully the grizzly now and feeling invulnerable.
Actually, how about if Marco tries it first?
Jake suggested. While the rest of us lurked in the shadows, Marco, now an extremely large, powerful gorilla, knuckle-walked to the glass door. He stood up on his hind legs and tapped with one massive finger on the glass.
Tink, tink.
The guard jerked in his seat. He stood up and moved cautiously closer. Then he drew his gun.
Hey, get out of here,
the guard said.
Hi,
Marco said in thought speak.
I just came from a masquerade party, and I was looking for Visser 3.
The guard's eyes went wide.
Landolite,
he hissed.
I can't hiss in that voice. Oh, so you are a controller. Good, that makes it so much simpler.
With that, Marco punched straight through the thick glass of the door. His gorilla fist connected squarely with the guard's chin. The guard crumpled, still holding his gun.
Oh. Move, move, move!
Jake yelled. I barreled into the rest of the glass door. I was careful, but not too careful. I wasn't very worried about being hurt. Shattered glass flew everywhere. Cassie, Axe, and Jake leapt over the glass shards. Jake raced for the elevator.
There may be an alarm. We have to move fast,
Jake said.
We'll never fit in one elevator,
Marco said.
Head for the freight elevator. That'll hold us,
Jake said.
Go for the top floor.
Cassie and Axe kept an eye on all activity on the ground floor while they waited for the elevator to come back down. Jake, Marco, and I had the most firepower, so we went in first.
Ding!
Okay.
Is it working? Is it working?
Well.
That button.
There goes our momentum.
Now hit play.
I did hit play.
You sure you're on the right one? You killed it. It's broken.
Should be playing.
Aw, oh, dang it. Okay. We're in the elevator. Is that on repeat?
No, but okay. We got a long time.
Can you press... wait. We squeezed our combined bolt into the one freight elevator car. Not an easy thing to do. But we managed it.
Can you press the button? I sure can.
Jake said. He held up one of his huge paws to show me. It wasn't easy. Bear paws aren't exactly subtle tools. But after carefully lining up my first claw, I hit the top button. The doors closed, and we rose swiftly upward. There was a safety inspection certificate mounted on one wall. I leaned very close to make out the letters and read it out loud.
Says here maximum load is about 20 people. How many bears, tigers, and gorillas?
The ride seemed to be taking forever. I watched the counter tick off the floors.
Bing!
21.
Bing!
22.
Bing!
23.
So, seen any good movies lately?
Jake asked.
Bing!
I want to go see the new Keanu Reeves movie.
Bing!
Keanu, I said.
He's supposed to be cute, right?
Duh,
I said.
I wonder if he'd ever want to go out with a girl like me. You know, lots of guys wouldn't want to date a grizzly bear.
Suddenly, I realized there was music playing in the elevator. The usual stupid elevator music.
You're welcome.
Get ready. Get ready. Get ready.
Get ready,
Jake said.
Been ready. Top floor, ladies' shoes, children's apparel. Everyone out,
Marco announced in his best elevator voice. Wait, where are we?
The elevator stopped.
The door opened, just as three humans and two Hork-Bajir were racing towards the elevator. Rake roared and voice that could crackle concrete. I echoed in my own muddier bear voice. I charged like an enraged bull. I went straight for the nearest Hork-Bajir. That meant running through the closest human. I felt a slight thump as his body was knocked aside. I slammed into the Hork-Bajir. The force of my charge just picked him up and carried him along till I hammered into the far wall. I didn't kill him, but he wasn't going anywhere. Jake took down the other Hork-Bajir with a lightning swipe of his claws. The remaining humans bolted.
I'm caught,
Jake said.
Is it bad?
It isn't good,
Jake said.
But I'll be okay for a while.
Just then, the elevator door opened and Axe and Cassie piled out.
About time,
I said.
We've taken care of the welcoming committee. Sorry, Axe pushed the button for the wrong floor,
Cassie said. She glanced at the two Hork-Bajir.
You know they have more than those two up here guarding Cantrona, and...
Jake! You're bleeding!
Cassie cried.
I'm fine. The human controllers ran down...
I'm fine.
That hallway,
Jake said.
Let's go. We haven't won this battle yet.
I took off at a loping run. The others were right behind me. My claws gouged the carpeted floor with every step. I couldn't see well, but I could smell the adrenaline of the frightened human controllers. I knew where they had gone. I could smell them. I could sense them. They had challenged me, and I was going to show them who was boss.
Watch out, Rachel!
Cassie called.
There's a door!
Louder than the people reading!
Watch out!
Oops.
Rachel. Watch out. Shut up. Watch out, Rachel.
Cassie called.
There's this door straight ahead of you.
Nobody appreciates me and you didn't push play.
Nah, there's no door.
He hasn't set it up. I said and plowed all my 800 pounds into a steel door that popped open like the lid of a jack-in-the-box. Inside, eight Hork-Bajir warriors stood ready. Eight walking razor blades. Eight of them. 5 of us, no way could we win. A sensible person would have seen the odds and run away, but I charged straight at them. Later, everyone thought I was being brave, but you know what the truth was? The truth was, with my weak bare sight, all I could see was a blur. I thought they were humans. I wasn't brave, I was just blind.
What the?
Chapter 26!
Rachel!
You're doing voices.
Rachel!
Cassie yelled a warning.
Too late to retreat!
Jake said.
Go!
I figured out the 8 blurry figures were Hork-Bajir when I was about 3 feet away from slamming into the first one. By then it was too late to stop.
Kill the girlfriend and the light!
A Hork-Bajir cried in the weird mix of languages that they use.
Kill girlfriend and the light a lot, kill all!
Suddenly I realized I was cut, a searing pain radiated from my shoulder. I swung my paw and hit the Hork-Bajir in the head. He fell, but as he fell he slashed me with his Tyrannosaurus feet and ripped a second cut in me.
Ah!
Again.
Ah!
Again?
Ah!
I like that better.
Ah!
No, it's not that bad.
But it's not that bad. It's
hurry up, we don't have time!
From that point on, it was a nightmare of terrible images that seemed to float in and out of my hazy vision. I saw Cassie with her bone-breaking jaws sunk into the throat of a horned Spazier. I saw Axe's deadly tail, his tail like a deadly bullwhip, like Indiana Jones's. Lashing, cutting, lashing again, till one of the Hork-Bajir stood screaming, holding his own severed arm. I saw Jake and a Hork-Bajir locked in the deadly embrace as they rolled and slashed at each other with superhuman speed. I saw Marco fighting with one arm as he held his own sliced stomach together with his other hand. And everywhere, snarling, growling, raging, roaring noise.
Look out, Rachel! Behind you!
Day! Get Frederick! Day!
Help! He's on me! Ah!
I couldn't tell who was winning. I couldn't tell who was hurt, but it all became one long cry, one long scream of rage. Hork-Bajir and Animorph, alien and animal. We were flesh and blood creatures thrown into a meat grinder. 13 deadly animals locked into combat to the death. I felt the bear weakening as he was cut again and again by Hork-Bajir blades. I knew I was losing blood. The human part of me knew that. I could feel my strength ebbing. I charged again and hit a Hork-Bajir in the stomach. I carried him along with my momentum, and he slashed wildly at me. I'd hit something. Glass. It had shattered. A window. I had shoved the Hork-Bajir through the window. I heard the Hork-Bajir's cry dying away as it fell. A sudden flash of movement as something came zooming through the shattered window. Tobias screamed as he spread his talons forward and struck the closest Hork-Bajir, raking his eyes. The battle had turned! The Hork-Bajir had had enough. Maybe it was hearing one of their fellows fall 60 stories, and maybe it was Tobias' arrival strengthening our side, but whatever it was, the remaining Hork-Bajir ran. 3 of them ran. The rest would not be running anywhere. Marco grabbed the crumpled door and slammed it back in place. Just imagine this, like, holding his guts in it, like... Still, it's bad. Then, with what must have been the last of his strength, he shoved a desk in place to block the door.
I'm hurt bad.
Marco said.
I gotta morph out, man.
Do it,
Jake said.
Everyone, demorph.
I'm okay.
I said weakly.
Rachel.
Tobias said.
Your left arm.
I stared blankly at my left paw. It wasn't there. It was a stump.
Demorphing.
I said. I focused on my human body. My weak but healthy human body. Morphing is done from DNA, fortunately. DNA is not infected by injuries, so injuries do not follow you from one morph to another. Exhaustion does. As my human body reemerged from the vast bulk of the grizzly, I felt so weary and was afraid I might faint. Through human eyes, I saw a scene of carnage. The Hork-Bajir lay sprawled around the room. Most seemed to be breathing. None were conscious. All were bleeding from claw and teeth wounds. Unfortunately for the Hork-Bajir, they could not simply morph out of their injured bodies.
Everyone okay?
Jake asked, sounding as weary as I felt.
Yeah, but that was way too close.
Cassie said. We were in a large office. I could see now that with my human eyes. Desks lay splintered. The carpet was ripped into ribbons. The walls were gouged. Floor to ceiling windows formed one wall. They were shattered. I remember the Hork-Bajir falling and shuddered. There was a door in one wall.
Through there,
Marco suggested.
Let's try it.
I said. I staggered toward the door. It was not locked. A bare room, tile floor, white painted walls. The walls of windows was blocked by heavy curtains. The room was empty, but for a large, massively built platform in the very center. It was a steel pedestal, maybe 3 feet high, 8 feet long. And atop that pedestal was a machine the size of a small car. It was shaped like a cylinder, tapered to dull points and both ends. It gleamed brightly like new chrome, as if it had just been polished, and made a slight low humming noise. As I approached, I felt my hair stand on end from the static electricity. It was warm in the room, very warm. It smelled like lightning.
The Candrona,
Axe said.
The Candrona,
I echoed. For a full minute, we just stood there, gaping at it.
Rachel,
Jake said at last.
We need you to morph again. Can you do it?
I nodded slowly.
Elephant? Elephant. I don't know how else we're going to do it. We don't have any tools or anything.
I morphed the elephant. Tobias flew outside to make sure there were no pedestrians below on the dark sidewalk. It took every last ounce of power that elephant had, but the Candrona did not move. But the Candrona did move. It did, slowly, in jerks and starts, slide across the floor. And when at last I shoved it through the windows, it fell the 60 stories to smash under the concrete below.
Finally get it up.
Chapter 27.
Double A!
We did it,
I whispered as I returned to my normal body.
We destroyed the Candrona.
We have to get out of here,
Jake said.
The Yerks will know. They'll be all over this place. So what does this mean?
Marco asked.
We did it, but what does it mean? Have we changed the future?
Everything changes the future.
I groaned.
Somehow, I knew we'd hear from that guy again.
A replacement Candrona would be here in 3 of your weeks. It is already on its way.
Are you telling us this was all a waste?
Marco demanded. Axe said.
No, Marco, it was not a waste. 3 weeks with only the Candrona aboard the mothership. In 3 weeks' time, they will suffer greatly. They will fall behind in their schedule. Maybe many Yerks will perish. 3 weeks is not a waste. Don't you mean 3 of our weeks, Axe?
Marco teased.
Is it enough?
Jake demanded loudly.
Is it enough? Have we changed the future?
There was no answer, just silence.
I don't think he knows,
I said.
He showed us a possible future, but you know what? I don't believe the Elemists really know the future any more than we do.
What makes you so sure?
I laughed.
Because wherever it is that the Elemist exists, and whatever he's up to, and whatever game he's playing, and no matter how mighty he is, he has butterflies, too.
Then an amazing laugh, laughter that welled up from inside of us and echoed through us and made us all smile as if we were fresh and full of energy.
As I said, you are a primitive race, and yet capable of learning you are.
I smiled. Come on, guys. Do you have the energy for one more morph? I feel like flying.
At first we saw no evidence that the... Oh, sorry, there was a line pause there. At first we saw no evidence that the Yerks were suffering. I don't know how they did it, but the Yerks managed to maintain. It wasn't until later that we learned we had done them terrible damage. But that is another story. 2 days later, I took the bus over to my dad's apartment. He was packing up his suitcase to leave.
Hi, Rachel,
he said when he opened his door.
I was not sure you were coming over.
I shrugged.
You're too disorganized to be able to pack all by yourself.
He smiled a sad smile.
Thanks.
Yeah, no big thing.
I would have come and picked you up,
he said.
Sweetheart.
My dad said.
You know, you can always change your mind. You can always come live with me.
I know, Dad.
He smiled sadly.
You know, I'll miss seeing you as much, even though I'll be here every chance I get. Wow, he's changing. I know that too, Dad.
I said. I gave him a little kiss on his cheek. He patted my hair and I cried. I closed up his suitcase and zipped it.
You going to be okay without me here to take care of you?
He asked.
I can take care of myself,
I said, wiping away the tears. We took the elevator down to the taxi that was waiting.
Come with me to the airport. I'll send you home in a cab.
I shook my head.
No, I have stuff to do.
I smiled.
I understand. You probably have something very important to do with your friends.
It was a joke.
Absolutely.
I said.
We have to save the world.
My dad laughed.
If anyone can do it, honey, it would be you.
Then the taxi drove off. I looked up in the sky. A lone hawk circled high overhead.
You coming, Rachel?
Tobias called down to me in thoughtspeak. I nodded my head so he could see. Yes, I was coming.
I have very bad feeling about this.
views or opinions expressed in interviews or commentary are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KUP, its parent, or any of its affiliates or employees, including the individual speaking.